Good to be back at Mountain View. Randy's going to get me going down memory lane here. A lot of things coming to mind when he was talking there. What he says is true. I honestly sometimes think if it hadn't been for my grandparents, I don't know if I'd be where I am today. My parents were good, and they took me to church, but my grandparents, they went above and beyond, and I'm thankful for that. I'll tell you a little story since Randy brought that up. There was various times and periods of my life when we maybe Daddy or them got a little slack. There was a period of time I wouldn't be took to Sunday school, and I was up at my grandmother's house one Sunday, and Randy was there, and Kathy, probably the kids too, and they was eating. And Momma's, you know how them old timers were. She's, "I wish he'd go to Sunday school, Randy." And wish they, he got to go to Sunday school. And that just embarrassed me. Oh, it made me feel terrible. I was just a little bitty kid. Just made me feel terrible. Because I wanted to go, and I didn't always get to go. But I'm thankful that I felt that way, though.
Yeah.
I'm thankful I felt that way. And
yeah.
Glad that wasn't too long after that, Mom and Daddy remedied that. I got in Sunday school. And but I'm just thankful for my raising. Thankful for Randy. I've been hearing him preach all my life. I really wanted to hear him preach tonight. And I ain't just saying that. But my heart felt inclined to come.
Bless him,
Lord. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I started thinking about Mountain View. And last week, Brother Daniel came up and seen us. I've been thinking about him, and he popped in, and we was eating supper Friday night and seen some of you members there at the eating house where we was at, and I told Kim, I said, "We're going to have to go." So I wanted to come and be with you tonight, and I want you to pray for us. I do have a thought. It's been hanging around for a couple of weeks now, I guess, and I tried to mark my pages in this Bible here. If you want to read with me, turn to the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus. 28th chapter of the book of Exodus. And also, the 29th Psalm. And I'd like to read one more portion of Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't have a whole lot of verses, but these three different places, if you want to turn. Again, that's Exodus 28, Psalm 29, and 1 Peter 3. Been enjoying your services too, by the way. I appreciate your broadcast. I listen every week, or most every week. I hear Brother Randy preach, and heard Brother Daniel preach about the gospel here a few weeks ago, and Brother Bruce and Kraft, and I enjoy y'all's broadcast. Appreciate you. Appreciate what you're doing there. I really, really do. Exodus 28. I love how the Bible ties together. It's just so beautiful. And I love to take these words and these thoughts and run the course till you get to the New Testament and you see the fulfillment, what it was really looking to all along. And it just amazes me. But Exodus 28, Verse 1, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments." Think about that. Holy garments. What is a holy garment? It must have been a magnificent piece of clothing that they arrayed these people, these priests, with. Holy garments. "Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty." For glory and for beauty. Turn with us to the 29th Psalm. We'll read you one verse. Verse number 2. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." The beauty of holiness. And finally, I'd like to read over in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says in verse 1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Now you pray for me tonight for just a few minutes. I'll try my very best not to hold you too awful long. But I want to maybe center down tonight upon this word beauty. Beauty tonight. Beauty. We all know, or we at least have an idea of what beauty is and what it means. And I began to look at that word and search that word out in the Hebrew and in the Greek and in the different places throughout the Bible in which it was used. That word beauty is in the Bible a whole lot of times. You can go to the 61st chapter of Isaiah and read some wonderful scripture that Isaiah prophesied about this day that was coming, which he called the acceptable year of the Lord. And it was a time that was going to be a time when, Jesus even quoted that particular passage of Scripture when he first got up and read the Scriptures over there. And he said, "This day is the Scriptures fulfilled in your hearing." He said, "For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach glad tidings to the people." Thank God that was right out of Isaiah 61. And in Isaiah 61, he said, and in that day, he said, I'm going to,
He said, I'm going to give them beauty. I'm going to give them beauty for ashes. Amen. That's some wonderful. That's just beautiful tonight, isn't it? He was going to give them beauty. Thank God. And, you know, God is beauty tonight. He really is. But we all today have ideas about beauty and what beauty is. And I guess everybody has a definition of beauty and what they think beauty is. Somebody said beauty is simply in the eyes of the one that's beholding tonight. But listen, I'm going to say tonight, the Lord is beautiful tonight. He really is. And he has a beauty tonight that is unparalleled. It's unparalleled. Nothing of this world can match the beauty, thank God, of God Almighty. Thank God. And I want to try my very best tonight, Randy, to talk about that beauty tonight for just a little bit. And I want you to think with us tonight as we read there in Exodus chapter 28. And my friend, and the Lord was commanding the children of Israel and that they would take Aaron and his sons. That was the office of the priesthood. That was the ones who was appointed by God to go into the holiest of holies. Amen. The holiest of holies. And offer the sacrifices for the sins of the people. And he said, I want you to adorn this man in garments, in an apparel, in an attire, my friend, that is consecrated. And I want you to give him garments that will reflect my glory. And I want you to make these garments to show forth my beauty. Amen. The Lord's beautiful tonight. He certainly is. But we need to understand tonight that in this day and time, we think of beauty only as it ties into aesthetics, a natural beauty, if you will, tonight. We look at things and say, well, that's beautiful or that's ugly. My friend, but listen, in this day and time, listen, beauty was more than just something that was skin deep, but it was intertwined into the relationship between man and God and between heaven and earth. And my friend, when the kings of the old days stood, and my friend, there was supposed to be a comeliness about them, and a magnificence and a splendor, and my friend, that showed that the God or the gods or a God, and my friend, was with them and blessing them. And my friend, when those kings would walk into a room and their glory and beauty and their train, and my friend, would fill the room, and my friend, and it was supposed to give a feeling of awe and magnificence. And my friend, and he said, I want you to have these garments and wear them for glory and for beauty. And yes, sir, y'all pray for me and for just a minute. And my friend, these garments that Aaron wore, and my friend, what did they look like? And you can read the whole entire chapter and the 28th chapter of Exodus, and it'll tell you all about and what these garments look like. And my friend, but one of the key elements of it all, and my friend, was the linen. And this linen was fine linen, and it was clean. Woo! and it was white. Yes, it was. And my friend, listen to me. And when you was to see it, and when you was to look upon it, and you were supposed to see a reflection of God's glory and His magnificence and His beauty. And my friend, but you know the Bible story just like I do. And my friend, they soiled those garments. And they dirtied those garments time and time and time again. And yes, they did. And my friend, to the point and where God didn't even have any respect to it. And my friend, He wasn't even pleased with it. And He rejected that all. And my friend, in one place, He said, don't even bring me any more of your vain oblations. He said, your sacrifices and your offerings are but an abomination to me, Steve. And my friend, and not only did they stink, but they were filthy and they were dirty. And my friend, you'll never see that so plain as when you read the book of the prophet Zechariah. And my friend, Zechariah had visions from heaven, and in one of those visions he saw Joshua, didn't he? Yes, he did. And who was Joshua? Well, he was one of the many high priests that dwelt over Judah in the time when Nebuchadnezzar came and carried them off into Babylonian captivity. And my friend, but when Joshua came and stood before the Lord, and Zechariah said and that he had on filthy garments. Amen. He had on filthy, soiled, dirty garments. And listen, the Bible said in Zechariah that Satan stood there to resist him and to accuse him. And but thank God, I'm glad Zechariah said he saw something. He said to the angel, go and take the filthy garment and take them off of him. And thank God, and give him a change of garment. Amen. And glory be to God. And listen to me. I'm just going to go ahead and say this tonight. Ain't you glad tonight you got a change of garments one day? Amen. I'm going to tell you what Paul said in the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians. And my friend, he said, and put ye on the new man. Have you ever put on a new man? How do you put on a new man? Thank God, you got to change your garment. Thank God, they sung a song years ago, said, I put off the old coat and I put on a new. Amen. He said in Ephesians 4, put you on the new man, which after God is created unto righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Every single time you read about holiness and beauty, it always comes down to clothing. Thank God, to a garment of some kind. Amen. You say, preacher, you're reading about the women folk over there in 1 Peter chapter 3. Well, that'll be all right. Paul wrote it, and I ain't going to change it. But thank God, I believe he's talking about more than just that. Thank God, he saw the church as being the bride of Christ. Yes, he did. He saw her as the bride of Christ. Amen. He said over there in the later on in Ephesians, he said, I show unto you a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. So my friend, when he was talking to the church at Ephesus there, and he was telling them, put on a new man. That's kind of what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter chapter 3. He said, let me tell you, them holy women of old, my friend, their beauty and their glory, their holiness wasn't just the outward things, but it was that hidden man of the heart, even that meek and quiet spirit, thank God, which is in the sight of God a great prize. Amen. You know, if we're clothed in Christ, we ain't naked. We've been clothed upon with a new creature, clothed upon with our with the one from heaven, thank God. Amen. I believe over there in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, John saw a great wonder in heaven. It was a woman who was clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet. Amen. And the old covenant woman was clothed with the moon. She had the law. But you and I both know that the law couldn't take away sin. But thank God he saw the church as having the moon under her feet. Thank God, victory over the law of sin and death. And she had a clothing of the sun. You go read the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. You know what it'll tell you? It said, rejoice. Woo! Rejoice! Because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. You know what it means to get ready? You ever seen a woman get married? She'll go out there in the fellowship hall or down there in the basement and get herself ready. Amen. That's what he was saying. She's made herself ready. And thank God. And you know what it says then? It says, and there was given unto her garments, white garments, clean linen. And he said, the linen is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. That's what the garments of holiness was all about. It was all about the beauty of the Lord. And thank God, I'm glad I got some clothing, some beautiful garments. Whoa! Oh! Ain't you glad tonight, church, that we got some beautiful garments of holiness, whereby the world ought to be able to see God's beauty? I've never seen a day and time in my life where people are blind to beauty, blinded to beauty. They're blinded to it. Back in 1961, a man sung a song called Happy Birthday, Sweet 16. I don't know why it's coming, but I'm just giving you what I got. He said, when you was 10, you was like my little sister. When you was, or 8, you was like my little sister. When you was 12, you was just a funny little Valentine. He said, but now, you've turned into the prettiest girl I ever seen. Yeah. Yeah. Thank God. There was a lot of people in Jesus' day that couldn't see the beauty of Jesus. They couldn't see the beauty of the Lamb. Yeah, but you know what? Them old prophets saw, they saw Christ way back under the law when nobody else could see the beauty yet. They was already seeing the beauty. They didn't understand it all. They didn't know the timing of it all. They didn't know the nature of it all. But woo, they seen something glorious coming. And they seen something beautiful. You read the Song of Solomon. He said, we have a little sister who has no breasts. And what shall we do for our sister in the day and which she shall be spoken for? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. They ain't just a beauty in Christ. There's a beauty in His bride tonight. And that's because they're one. They're one. Amen. But listen, the church was coming, but she wasn't quite there yet. She was growing up. She was maturing. Oh, but them old prophets saw her glory. You go read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. You ever read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah? You ought to go home and read it tonight, because you know what it says? He was talking about Christ. And in the first verse, he said something real strange. He said, who has believed our report? What report was he talking about? Not only himself, but all them prophets. They had reported something. Amen. It didn't just start in Isaiah, did it? You go all the way back to Genesis, and they were seeing something. Something beautiful, something glorious coming. And listen, they'd all been prophesying it. And Isaiah prophesied about it. And he said, who has believed the report? And he proceeded to say, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. But now listen to what he said after that. He said, but there is no form. There is no comeliness that we should desire him. Amen. I want to tell you about that in just a minute. He said, there's no comeliness, no beauty, and nothing that we should desire him. And you know what he said then? He said, and we all hid, as it were, our faces from him. Yes, sir. Yeah. I believe he was looking on down the road to the time when Jesus would come. And he didn't look like a king. Not an outward king. He didn't have the glory and the splendor of this world. He didn't wear beautiful garments fit for a king. He looked like the last thing a king was supposed to look like. Oh, but let me reveal the glory to you. Amen. That's what Paul said. He said, let me take the veil off for you. Amen. I don't know if y'all realize or not, but that's exactly what Jesus did. He took the veil off. Amen. All them things that was written in the law and the prophets, and they were dark, they were in the dark. But thank God he came to remove the veil. I'll tell y'all one thing. I'll never forget it today. My wife walked down that aisle, and I knew what she looked like underneath. But listen, some of them didn't know what he really looked like. All they could see was the carpenter's son. Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing, when they went to get him and they went to arrest him, they were scratching their heads and they said, well, We've never heard a man speak like this man before. Yeah, it was something about him. But thank God when the veil came off. Amen. And they could see the beauty. Amen. Somebody said, "Why, preacher, Isaiah 53. That simply means that Jesus wasn't good looking. That's silly. That ain't at all what he was talking about. When he was saying he was without form, no comeliness about him. What he was saying was there wasn't any fleshly beauty that we would desire him. But glory to God, when he came, he gave beauty to a world of ugliness and sin. Let me give you a quick example, and I'll try to hush. Let me give you a quick example. It's wonderful when somebody brings beauty into your world. It is. When somebody brings color to your black and white. When somebody comes and tries to give you beauty for ashes. One day, I believe it's the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus was in the city of Jerusalem, and there was a blind man. He'd been blind from birth, if I remember my scripture correctly, blind from birth. Jesus came by and anointed his eyes and told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash and come back seeing. And he went and washed. He came back seeing. Oh, and that man, can you imagine seeing beauty for the first time? Can you imagine seeing the world in color for the first time? Everything he'd ever heard, now he saw it. Now he saw it for himself. He must have been happy, must have had joy, must have had beauty. It was a beautiful moment. It was a beautiful moment. For anybody. But you know what? There was a certain group of people who was blinded to God's beauty. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see it in the prophets, and they couldn't see it with Jesus Christ standing right before their face. They still were blinded. Their hearts was blinded. They had the veil over their eyes, over their face, and they couldn't see the glory, the holiness, the beauty. It was nothing to them. It should have been a beautiful moment. You ever felt that way, church? Y'all have been saved. You ever felt like, boy, you just seen God's glory one Sunday? Or maybe you're laying in your bed in the middle of the night and God just passed by. Remember when Moses said, "Let me see your glory." And the Lord passed by and covered his eyes and let him see the hinder parts. But thank God Jesus was taking the blinders off and revealing the glory of God. You ever felt like that? God just opened your eyes and let you see the world in a whole new way. It's beautiful. My wife's grandma got saved, and her testimony was that she went home to church. Went home from church that day. That was way back before they had cars. She just walked home and walked to church. She said she went home that Sunday skipping over the rocks, skipping over the bridge. I remember old preacher McRae Williams. I'll never forget preacher Mac. Y'all remember preacher Mac, don't you? Every single time preacher Mac would preach, he'd tell his testimony about how he was walking through the woods and the Lord was dealing with him. And he said the trees was talking to me. And he said, "What did they say, McRae?" He said, "They didn't say nothing." They didn't say nothing. But a still small voice was saying, "McRae, you're lost. You're lost, McRae." Yeah. Her grandma said she went skipping home that day. Oh, listen. But then you go back out into the world the next day. I remember when I got saved, I went to school the next day, the next Monday, and I told everybody I got saved. And this one little girl laughed and she said, "Well, who saved you?" She didn't see it. But I could see the beauty. I could feel the glory of the Lord. What a beautiful moment it must have been for that blind man. But you know what all they could do? Interrogate him. Question him. Who opened your eyes, they say. this man called Jesus did. Well, they said, he's a sinner. And we know that God don't hear sinners. How long you been blind? Well, never mind. I'm going to go talk to your parents. We'll see what they got to say. They said, well, we don't know what to tell you. But we know it's our son. And we know he was indeed born blind. But thank God they said he's of age. You can go ask him. You can go ask him for yourself. He's of age. Go ask him. They went right back to him. And they interrogated him some more, asking the same questions all over again. And he said, I've already told you one time. I don't know what else to tell you. I was blind, but now I can see. Amen. And listen, that still wasn't good enough for them. It still didn't satisfy them. They couldn't see the beauty of that moment of time when a man who was blind began to see for the very first time in his life. But he didn't stop there. He got bold and he said, how is it that you religious folks, you scribes and doctors, leaders of the people, you know the prophets, how can something like this be? He said, when has anything like this ever happened before that a man born blind can see? He said, don't you know that only God could do something like that? Only God could do something like that. They still didn't see it. They said, why, you was altogether born in your sins. And we've been studying the book. We've been studying it, the law. And you dare try to teach us. They put him out of the synagogue. I can just see him in my mind sometimes walking down through the back streets, excommunicated, turned out of the tabernacle, all by himself. But all of a sudden, Jesus came to him. Jesus came just in private, and he showed him who he was. He said, show me who the Son of God is. I believe on him. Jesus said, it's he that speaks with you. And he believed. And that was all he needed. That was all he needed after that. You know what? You can take this world, all its riches. I don't need a thing. But my desire is to be holy like him. I want to say one more thing, and I'm going to bring my remarks to a close. In Exodus chapter 28, he said, you make these garments for Aaron for two reasons, for glory and for beauty. Why did he make those garments? He made them and he put them on him. The congregation put those garments on him. You know why? Because God's beauty should and always should be the object of our desire. Now, I'm going to say a little bit more about that. Now, I'm sorry to keep bringing my wife up, but I just use what I got. Now, you can sit here all night and say, I don't believe in love at first sight. Don't matter to me. I do, because I'm living proof of it. I was sitting at Dry Creek Baptist Church on a Friday night of revival. I've been trying to get there all week, and I finally got there. I was 16 years old. And this little girl was up there fixing to sing. And she was beautiful. She was beautiful. And she immediately became the object of my desire. Is it okay if I say that? But what I'm fixing to tell you may surprise you. Yeah, she was beautiful. But the fact that she was about to sing gospel music, and she was wearing a beautiful dress, and she was serving the Lord, and she was at a revival meeting on a Friday night, I knew she wouldn't like the other girls. At least I didn't think she was. And that was the beauty I desired. That was the object of my desire that night. I'm glad she, I thought she was beautiful. But you know what? We're getting older and I still think she's beautiful. But the beauty, the object of my desire that night was the, I was looking for holiness. Something that was godly. Because I knew I wasn't going to be able to make it without something like that. And it was the object of my desire. Let me ask you this quick question tonight. What is the object of your desire? Is it outward beauty? Or is it the inward beauty, the holiness of the Lord? Preacher, you ever seen God's beauty? Oh, yeah. I've seen it. That man that was laid at the gate of the temple there in the book of Acts, you know what the name of that gate was? Beautiful. It was the beautiful gate. What was he doing at the beautiful gate? Christ went through that same temple and he wasn't too impressed. He said, all these stones and these great buildings, they're coming down. They're coming down. But what was he looking for? He was looking for that matchless beauty, that holiness, that true beauty, that array of glory and beauty. That is supposed to be the object of our desire, to be like, to be holy like Him. If you don't believe that, you listen to what God said in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. I, the Lord thy God, am holy. Be thou holy, for I am holy. Be thou holy. That's the message, Brother Randy, tonight. He's the object of my desires, to be like Him. And I believe the church is and always will be the most beautiful thing that has ever come into this world. Because it's like Him. John said, I beheld and saw the Lamb, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. It was a match made in heaven. It was a match made in heaven. It was love at first sight. He said, and I saw her coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Adorned. You hear that? Adorn. That's them same beautiful holy garments that they was trying to sew together and stitch together and put them jewels in the breastplate. You'd go read the 28th chapter. Boy, Aaron must have looked like a thing with all that decked out jewels and those array. But you know what one of the prophets said? He called us the jewels. Yeah, we are the jewels. We are the jewels. We're the apple of His eye. Brother Owens, we're the apple of God's eye. Thank God, I'm glad I not only see Him as beautiful, but I believe when God looks upon His church tonight, He sees something beautiful. World ain't never had nothing more pretty, more beautiful than the church in all her glory. Let's never do anything to give the impression otherwise. Let's put on holiness and adorn ourselves with glory so that when the world sees us, they see His beauty.